Well, generally, people that are diagnosed with Parkinson's disease, the diagnosis comes way, way after they have any first symptoms. Because you can't have a blood test, it's not shown in an X-ray, it's not shown in an MRI, really. It's really a physical examination and a ruling out of all the different symptoms. And so, for me, it was when I was 40, I first noticed the symptoms. And when I was 40, I was working as a special needs teacher full time, and I had three kids, busy, running around everywhere. And I was going to turn 40, and I decided, well, I want it to be a milestone in my life. And I went to Vietnam. I travelled to Vietnam and was going to do this huge overland trek with a friend. And I had had three very perfectly healthy pregnancies. I'd walked to the end, and I'd always been a master in a master swim squad. I had a personal trainer at the time, super, super healthy and fit. And I got to Vietnam, and my legs swelled up. I couldn't eat anything. I was really, really sick. Couldn't stand bright lights. So that was when I was 40. I came back, and my doctor at the time said, perhaps you're menopausal or super anxious or something. Perhaps just go home and see how it all pans out. So I did. And I tried to struggle on, and I, as all Parkinson's people seem to do, you go from one doctor to another. And it's quite unusual for, I suppose, a person who's 40 to have Parkinson's disease. So it's not something that doctors look for.
So how long did it carry on from there until you actually discovered you had Parkinson's?
10 years.
10 years.
I wasn't like that all the time.
My goodness.
I found a doctor who had fibromyalgia, and she felt that perhaps that's what I had. So she said, well, perhaps it's fibromyalgia or chronic fatigue syndrome. And at that stage, I'm a firm believer there, about in chronic fatigue syndrome, but quite often it is a blanket term for a lot of things. And so she said, unfortunately, it's not really recognised. We'll manage it. So she managed the pain and got me back to work, and she listened. And I sort of got back to normal in a moderate way. So I moderated my exercise then. I did walking instead of running. I swam 1 hour instead of 2 hours, and took up meditation, yoga, the things that you do when you're trying to, relax and contain that stress. So that continued. So I was by the time I was 45 then, I felt okay. But I knew that I had to manage my health, so I was relatively okay. And
So it wasn't until you were 50 you actually were diagnosed with Parkinson's. Okay. So what was?
Oh no, actually, when I was 45.
45.
Yeah.
Okay, you were diagnosed at 45. Yeah.
Yeah.
So what was the process after that? What sort of treatment did you begin?
When I was diagnosed at 45, you have a honeymoon. It's for want of a better term, but of about 2 years, where you don't really need a lot of drugs. But to really confirm the diagnosis, they need to see that the dopamine, if you're given dopamine, which is what your brain is deprived of, if you're given dopamine and you respond to it well, that is a virtual confirmation of Parkinson's disease. So I was given dopamine, and all my symptoms disappeared. So that was a confirmation that I had Parkinson's disease,
So
I guess.
how did you feel about that when you heard that you had Parkinson's?
Well, obviously it's not great because I'd just come back from Singapore. I'd just recently separated from my husband, and I'd come back gung-ho, imagine it, just finishing a post-grad, studies, thinking I was going to launch myself back into the world of Australian work, three kids, and I was going to be an independent woman. And I was diagnosed with Parkinson's disease.
How would you describe the level of support for people with Parkinson's in Australia?
If you can find it, once you do find it, it's great. I must say that in Queensland, it's very, very difficult. Parkinson's Queensland are very overworked and underfunded. They have a staff of three, and it's a huge state. Compared, I've tried to get as much information as possible. So I've gone to New South Wales to they have early onset conferences down there.
Yeah.
And in addition to Victoria, I've been to the early onset Parkinson's conference in Victoria last year. They have counsellors. They have manned phone lines. They have, in Victoria, they have a consultant community, Parkinson's nurse.
So more resources.
More resources, more funding. In Queensland, we're perhaps, we're fortunate that we do have an incredible neuroscience department that's very involved in DBS research and procedures.
Now, you mentioned DBS research there. That's deep brain stimulation, which you've been involved in.
Yeah.
Sounds very dramatic. Tell us a bit about that.
I think that I'll tell you about it, but first of all, I'll preface it by saying that the public is fascinated by the brain, and there's no doubt about that. You know, the last bastion of unexplored territory.
Very much so, yeah.
So it grabs everybody's attention. And popular, you know, the popular media press, you know, they love it as well. And there's no doubt, it is, it's fascinating stuff. So that's the preface of it, okay? Mm-hmm. So the process involves going into surgery. First, you have a CAT scan, and they put a... They do anaesthetise you at that stage, so you're fully anaesthetised. Mm-hmm. After that, you do wake up in... I woke up in surgery in a it's called twilight surgery. Mm-hmm. It's a strange experience because behind you have the neurosurgeon operating on your brain and a neurologist telling you to move your hand. Mm-hmm. So you're aware that that's going on, that they're actually in your brain and the neurologist is there twiddling your thumbs, you know, and getting you to talk, and I'm good at talking. So apparently there's a lot of people that feel uncomfortable about saying anything during that time. But
it wasn't a problem for you.
No problem. Yeah.
And benefits from it? Is it working?
Working now, yeah, yeah. When I woke up, I knew that it was completely different from the first time. It was fantastic. Mm-hmm. I guess, you know, nobody understands what stillnesses are like. I guess generally you just take stillness for granted, but when you can experience that, it's just to lay on a bed and not move, or to sit in a chair and not move, it's just absolutely fantastic. It's, you cannot explain it. If I had, I would pay anyone $1 million to have that experience.
And just finally, what message would you really like to get across on this World Parkinson's Day?
What I'd like to get across is when to perhaps first of all to GPs or people that diagnose people with Parkinson's. Just be aware, be mindful that, well, it's a real bummer to be diagnosed with Parkinson's disease. The actual diagnosis is probably about 5% of what you're going to experience over a lifetime. Maybe it's the same with every chronic illness. The rest of the 95% of it is made up of how you cope financially, socially, your kids, and everything else. And if I feel that if I'd had perhaps the support of a nurse to refer to, I may never have to have had to resort to DBS, because I could perhaps if I had that a support of a nurse to, you know, help me manage medications, I may have been able to manage my life as well. I needed an advocate. I needed someone to sit me down and say, hey, it's a bummer about the Parkinson's, but geez, you know, like, let's have a plan. Let's get a plan together. And, you know, I guess that's what I would want. I wanted an advocate, and that would have changed the course of how my disease progressed. And I figure I probably maybe still back out in the workforce if that had happened.